Praise God. Lord's good, isn't he? I just got something I want to share this morning. I told RJ back there, it's sometimes the most difficult thing is just to get up and move by faith. You know, but the Lord's called us to move by faith. And when we do, he blesses it, you know. And this really kind of goes back to on the heels of last Sunday in the service we had. That was a gospel message. It was a gospel message, and the thing of it is, when you hear a gospel message, it's not just words, but it's Jesus Christ offering himself to people and making himself real to people, right? That's what the word does. It actually, when it's anointed, the Lord shows up. He's a life-giving spirit, you know, and I guess some of the thoughts I've had this week, I'm going to read something. This is actually, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And, you know, the Lord actually apprehends us. But when he apprehends us, it's not just to make us a captive as in subservient to him. It's actually to give us life. That's what he does. He's not a dictator. He is the author of eternal life. And that's what he offers. And so when he offers that and it is made available, people have the option and they can choose to actually follow him and partake of not just of, it's not religion, it's that you partake of somebody, and that somebody is Jesus Christ. And not only does he come into us when we're born again, but he also, the most amazing thing is then he can use us and live through us and do through us what we cannot do. And it's not just a religious act. It's actually Jesus Christ coming forth. That's why he told the lady at the well, he said, if you drink this water, it'll become a well of water springing up into eternal life. And is Jesus a living water? Yes. He is. And so he's a living water. He's also the bread. He's a life-giving spirit. And so when he saves us, it's not just to save us from hell. It's to save us for his purpose and that we can be used of him. And I noticed back there, one of the songs that was sung was Take My Life, a Living Sacrifice. Knowing it's the least that I can do. And you know what? That's all we can do. When the Lord calls us to himself, it is not for us to do something. We lay our life down. See, you know, Jesus laid his life down. Christ laid his life down. He's not asking us to do something that he didn't do. It's not like he's way up here and he's asking you to do something. Listen, he went through everything and more that we could ever go through so that he can actually help us and give us the grace to do what he calls us to do. Amen. And that's a great comfort. This Jesus didn't just tell us to do something. He came here. He is our forerunner. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our elder brother. He's all those things. He paved the way. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. And you know what? He ever lives to make intercession. And because he does, he's alive. And the thing that he calls us to do, whatever it is, he gives us the power to do it. And I guess I was thinking about some of those things. And the Lord does. He wants. He apprehends us. He takes us captive. But he loves us. And when he does that, he not only gives us life and makes us holy, he makes us a part of the people of God and brings us into his family. And I'm going to read this passage. I'm reading from the NLT. This is 2 Corinthians 2. Paul says here, but thank God he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. And, you know, when Paul spoke there, he was, you know, Jesus and others back then spoke to that culture and what people understood. But Rome back then was a superpower. And what they did, one of the things they did, if they went out to conquer a country, when they came back with the victory, you know, the guy that maybe led the military campaign, he's up there waving, everybody's waving at him and cheering, and it's like a big parade. But in the back of it, they had the captives. What they were saying was, not only will we conquer, not only are we the big dog, that's who we took down right there. And a lot of times those guys that were led captive in that procession, that was the last time anybody saw them. Sometimes they were in prison, sometimes they were killed. But Paul is using this, and this is what he says. I'm going to go back and read it again. But thank God he made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us. Now, Christ, he's saying, you know, I'm a captive to Christ, but look what? Christ is actually using him. he's given up his life, but now Jesus Christ is coming through him. And this is what it says. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. There's almost like this aroma that comes off of them because Christ is in them. Is that what it's saying? Listen to the next statement. Our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. There was still an aroma. It just was perceived differently. To those who are perishing, we are the dreadful smell of death and doom. That didn't sound very encouraging. Because when you think about giving up your life, naturally speaking, it looks like death, and so it don't look good. It doesn't seem very attractive at all. And if you're intent on holding on to your life, it has an off-putting aspect to it. But listen to this. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task? And, the thing about it is, I'm going back to what the service we had last Sunday, and the fact that when the Lord speaks and the Lord anoints his word, it doesn't have to be in high volume. Some people think that you validate God by getting louder. It can be in a whisper. But if it's anointed, it has the very life and essence of Jesus Christ. Volume is not that important. A lot of times when the Lord speaks, and even by his Spirit, sometimes it's like what it was Elijah. It was a small, still voice. And I'm getting to something here, but regardless, what's important and the component that's needed is the anointing in the Holy Spirit. And when that comes, God's doing something. It's not just talk. And but I was thinking, too, when it comes to, when the gospel goes forth and there's an invitation to come, there's an option. There's a choice, There's a choice, and how do we react to that? And what do we do? And back to the thing about Jesus and the fact that he laid his life down. I'm going to read something here, and I'm going to go back, and I want to read about when Jesus got baptized. Okay? But I'm going to read. You don't have to turn to this, because I'm just going to refer to it. There's two references. One was what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6. He quotes from 2 Samuel, and he says this, this is what God says, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He calls people, and they turn into the children of God, sons and daughters. Is that right? They do. They're actually, when the Lord identified himself with us at baptism, he provided a way for us to find our identity in him. It's pinpointed that that's exactly what he did. But I want to go back to before Jesus was born, and something that it was told Mary, and it was Gabriel, the angel, told her. This is in Luke 1:31. You don't have to turn there, because I'm not going to be here very long. But this is what the angel tells her. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And it actually said he would be physically called that. But let's go ahead and go to Matthew 3. And I'm going to read this. I guess it's just been something on my heart, because when the Lord, brings people to himself, there's a way that he has us come. And, Phil mentioned the thing about the altar call. And in evangelism, you see a lot about, okay, we're going to give an altar call. And usually it's something that's referred to as altar, and people come down to it. But what an altar was in the temple was something where something was slain, right? A life was actually laid down. And so what Jesus did for us and how he identified himself with us is, you know what baptism is? Baptism is symbolic of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He went down and he came back up. And that's where he meets us and seals us by his Spirit. And it may not be the same for everybody, but anyway, let's go to Matthew chapter 3. I'm just going to get on down here. John the Baptist is baptizing people, and he was talking to the people, and he says, this was in verse, I can't see what it is. I think it's verse, it's down toward the bottom. It says, I will baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Right? And I don't want to miss the Lord here. Let me just keep going. Praise the Lord. Anyway, you know, the Lord's good, and he gives us his life. When he promised that if we would lay our life down, he would give us his life, he cannot lie. He cannot lie. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yeah, this is in verse 13. And this is where Jesus comes down to the Jordan. And this is what it says. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now, for it is a proper time for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And you know what? Jesus didn't need to be made righteous. But the thing about it is, you know, when he makes us righteous, he is fulfilling righteousness because we need to be made righteous. We are unrighteous, so we need a righteousness that comes from something other than what we can do, because that's not enough. It has to be supplied by Jesus Christ. Okay, then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open. John, he sees and hears something. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. It didn't come down on him like a F-16. It was just a dove that came down. His spirit came down. And then he heard something. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And you know, that's where he was called a son. And you know, that's when we give our life to him, when we give our life to the Lord, we are brought into the family of God. That to me is wonderful. And you know, again, this is not a long sermon or anything. I even sensed last week the Lord calling people to himself. And you know, even in the act of baptism, you know, we don't even baptize ourselves. You basically offer up your life. And it's like the Lord's in that water and he says, come to me. I'm going to give you what you need. And when you go under, you lay your life down, he seals you and gives you his spirit. That's a wonderful promise. And it's the beginning of a journey that can be quite lengthy. And there's a lot of things we go through. But God is faithful. You know, and I guess just, again, the thought that I had was, when he calls us to himself, he said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. Right? God is good. And he wants to give us that life that we need that we do not have apart from him. If any man, if you try to hang on to your life, you lose it. But when you give your life to him, you get a life that cannot fade. That is eternal life. It says that what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and soon passes away. And that's the thing about us when we give our life up. I tell you why we need to give it up. It's not just to get his. But this one that we got, we're going to lose it anyway. You're not going to keep it. You're not going to keep this life. The reason why we need to get rid of this life and get the other one is this one is very defective. It's full of sin, and it's dying. You know, it's dying whether we say it is or not. We ignore it. We turn our back on it and say, nah, I'll be all right. You know, if you know the Lord, that's not the case with you. You know better. Praise God. Praise God. But this life is defective. It's full of sin, and it has a shelf life. It's going to die out. But the life he gives, I tell you what, he was raised from the dead by the power of God. And when he was raised from the dead, and he sent his Holy Spirit back here at Pentecost, that's the spirit you're sealed by. It's one spirit, it's one faith, it's one, you know what it says? It's one baptism. He points us to himself and says, come receive of me, I'll give you the life that you don't have. I'll give you real life, life that doesn't fade. And that's what it does say, that I think somewhere in Hebrew, he has the power of an indestructible life. That's good stuff, isn't it? I think that's all I have, and that's just what I wanted to share. And I'll leave it at that.